This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
The whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Just had Mosquito Joe out yesterday. Let's say we don't have any mosquitoes. We don't have any rodents. I haven't seen any sign of those freaky little creatures. So Mosquito Joe, you're gonna want to call him if you're worried about the mosquito situation or you're seeing rodents running around. Michael Adam Silver is quadrupling down on the anti-tanking issue. Or the tanking issue in the NBA. I mean, let's just hear it. Here's the clip of the day. Here's Adam Silver. Here's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver.
And I always feel we could do a better job. I could do a better job, especially in hindsight. Obviously, you know, first and foremost, tanking. You know, this has completely gotten away from the league this year. I mean, it's interesting because the lottery has changed, I think, essentially five times now. So arguably, there's less incentive under the current formation, you know, and odds of the lottery, there should have been less incentive than any time in our prior history to tank. But yet, because of modern analytics, whether, you know, interestingly enough, I always have to remind people, I mean, unfortunately, tanking is a strategy not to lose, but to win. It's just to win over a longer period of time, obviously. But I think where we ended up this year, where, you know, make the number, you know, 8 teams, 9 teams, 10 teams, whatever, which were essentially racing to the bottom, you know, again, in a desire to win, not to lose, was not acceptable. And, you know, what exactly we could have done about it in hindsight, you know, we're about to make significant changes. And we have already scheduled a board meeting of our owners for late May. There's a few different proposals that are still floating around on exactly how to change it. But arguably, we should have made the change a year ago or longer before we ended up in the position we are. So ultimately, that's my responsibility. So, you know, that's something we're focused on.
That was Adam Silver on talking NBA on Pardon My Take. And so the point of the clip of the day is, here's the clip, we react to it. I mean, I do agree, obviously, with one thing he said. He's like, people think tanking has always been a mission to lose. No, it's actually a mission to win just over a long period of time. I mean, the amount of issues that surround the NBA, Michael, are pretty significant at this point. You got flopping, you got foul baiting. I think like the gather step is an issue. You know, how many steps do they get? Like, I love watching the NBA. I'm a diehard Nuggets fan. But I always tell you, you know, we got to be logical here. I can't just get on here and fanboy. And I recognize there are issues. There are officiating issues in the NBA. Flopping is an issue. Yes, like I said, foul baiting. I get that tanking is a problem. I'm not saying that it's not actually a problem. It is. It's just not top five. And as a league that's trying to get better, trying to get more fans and compete with all of the stuff that we have to watch now, you should be focusing on the most critical issues in your game right now. And right now, the most critical issue is your actual in-game play. It's what's happening on the hardwood every single night. Your product is struggling because people are getting tired of the flopping. The face of your league is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. One of the faces of your league is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And when the face of your league, your likely two-time MVP, is leading the brigade when it comes to how to get fouled, how to make it look like you're getting fouled, that's an issue. And players growing up watching the NBA are only going to do that more. They're only going to say that's part of the game. Chris Finch, he's driving me crazy, but he's not 100% wrong on everything that he says. When he's talking about how players today are trained, when they get contact, they flow away from that contact as opposed to going hard into the contact. You know, when you have a guy that's coming up on you playing good defense on you, instead of still trying to finish the play, you're thinking, how do I get fouled first? And that's a significant issue. And that's what I want to hear Adam Silver address, but he won't. Because he knows that if he calls it out, if he actually gives it a voice, then he gives it power, then that's basically like it in his mind. Acknowledging that we have this problem is going to turn viewers away. Tanking is an issue with 5 teams a year. So, yeah, there's going to be a frustrated core fan base, but this is not the epidemic that he is making it out to be. And that, I think, Michael, is what frustrates me so much about where we are in the state of the NBA is you have a commissioner that's doing everything but addressing the real problem. And he continues to go on programs like Pardon My Take, different podcasts, NBA pregame shows, and hammers home the tanking message. If he has true power, then he should be doing the right things for this league, and that's addressing the on-the-court, the actual game, before anything else.
First of all, they should have called that segment Pardon My Tank. And second,
well, the show's called Pardon My Take. I agree that
flopping is number one priority, but flopping turns people off.
Because flopping is in the same family as foul hunting or foul baiting. Those are in the same family. And I say this, and I say it a million times over, I don't blame the players for this, Mike. Because the players are just doing what they're seeing the league allow. Therefore, if I can get to the free throw line, if I can add more points to my PPG, then I'm going to get a better contract. I'm going to get more playing time. Our team is going to be more successful. That's what the NBA is telling you it takes to be successful in this league. So I never blame the players for this. Does it annoy the crap out of me to see it? Yes, but it's the same thing in the NFL. When they started calling pass interference calls like crazy and not allowing cornerbacks to be physical, wide receivers are shocked when they don't get a call now. So they look over to the ref and plead for a call. That was taught to them. That was not something receivers just stood up one day and said, I'm going to start complaining to the ref. They grow up watching the game and seeing how many pass interference calls are being made. And they're looking at it going, why am I not getting this call? They're expecting the interference call now. And that is trained into you. So that's the NFL's fault for allowing it to get like that. And I know they wanted more points on the board. They want more quarterbacks with big numbers and big wide receivers with big numbers. But it does affect the game. Now, the NFL is great enough that it can survive those kind of things. The NBA is still pretty dominant. It's still one of those top leagues that we're watching. It's just not where it needs to be. And when you have a commissioner that makes it his mission on a daily basis to get on and talk about tanking as if this were the real issue surrounding this league, it makes it frustrating as a fan. And I get frustrated watching it.
Even hockey has something against this. And I thought it should have been called last night. But you have 2-minute minor for embellishment. So if hockey has this, basketball should have this. It should be, in my mind, it should be a 2-minute technical foul for, and I don't know if it should go against the, is it 16 technical fouls and you're out for a game?
Yeah.
But, like, if you're going to start flopping, then the other team gets to shoot free throws,
see,
and they,
like,
get the ball.
Clearly the NHL understands human nature. Guys, as humans, we as fans, do we not complain every time we watch something and say, oh, that's a terrible call? We grow up being fans like that. Well, these hockey players are also fans. They grow up saying the same thing, and then when they're actually out on the ice and they get hit and they think that it's actually a bad, an illegal hit, human nature does kick in, and you look to an official like, what the hell? Doesn't happen often in the NHL, but if the NHL allowed it to happen more, we would see the same thing. We would see something similar because it happens up and down the board in sports.
There are a couple times that, yeah, I see a hockey player go down and I'm like, I can understand why he's pissed. Sometimes, though, you're like, oh, he snapped his head back really hard. He shouldn't have snapped his head back. And it's, basketball is just the number one sport with this.
Because they allow it.
And what they need to do, if basketball gets its crap together, the other sports are going to follow. Because basketball is number one in this. If basketball says no more, then NCAA basketball stops. Football eventually
stops. Youth basketball,
stops.
Yes. But when you have a commissioner that makes it his, that's his mission in life right now, is to fix tanking. And that's not the main issue. Any NBA fan would not point to that first. They would point to about 5 to 10 other things that are, I mean, even in the world of tanking, the lottery is jacked up. The lottery is not a good process. Silver even said it in that comment, in that clip. We've changed the lottery 5 times. Then that means it's not a good system. How many times has the NFL changed their draft the way they do it in the past 20, 30 years?
There were like 12 rounds, and now there are 7. And that's there were 2 days for the draft, and now there are 3.
Yeah.
And now they go to different cities instead of just being New York.
Which is
three changes I can think of.
And it's not like a major change to the format of the draft. It's just stretching it out more so the NFL can have more airtime and more talk around it. And those are all decent decisions if you're trying to grow your leagues. 18 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. He'll join us in just a bit. We'll talk some Avs hockey. Avs up 2-0, looking to go 3-0, up 3-0 tomorrow. We'll talk to Keeler coming up next.
The best morning radio in Colorado. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Running my pain with his fingers. Singing my life with his words. Killing me softly with this song. Killing me softly.
It is time for Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. Sean, we needed the Avs to win last night because I was pretty negative yesterday talking about the Nuggets losing to, of course, the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I was desperate for something positive, and it was an ugly, grimy, gross kind of game, but the Avs pulled it out in the end.
The Kings are winning on style points, and by that we mean lack of style. Like, this is the ultimate glass half full, glass half empty series to start, right? In that they're up 2-0, but you haven't looked great, and you're not playing brilliantly offensively, right? Like, it feels like you are playing as if they're, it's like some of the old Larry Eustachy, Tim Floyd, Iowa State teams that would try to beat you 58 years. A few of your old Big 12, Big 8 listeners are nodding. They would try to beat you 57 to 52. The Kings are that kind of style, but in hockey. But 2-0 is 2-0, and that's a really good indicator historically for both these franchises and where this series is going to go. Now you almost just kind of want it over with, right? If, I mean, with one overtime game already, it feels like, well, hell, they played five periods and had four intermissions because of that glass breaking, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Have you ever seen anything like that, by the way, with that glass breaking
show?
Was that you? Were you up front doing that, man?
No, but it was pretty close to Sean Payton. Which made me laugh because I know we'll segue to the moderate interest in the draft this year, but no, they I saw him come in because I'm always wandering around that corner of ball, and because of the drinks, because you know me and caffeine, the Diet Pepsi was all in this other area where the players usually warm up, and so we're all in that tunnel near the Nuggets warm up area, just doing laps. These are the only steps I get during the playoffs, and Sean walked in one of those entrances from the he came in from the loading dock. And they shot through the bin, and he was pontificating about something. But then, I don't know, when you saw him, when they put him on the Jumbotron, he kind of half-waved and then just looked really, really annoyed, which felt like Sean, everyone in press row was like, what is he so ticked off about? They've got nothing to do Thursday night. I laughed. That's Sean. But it was weird. I've not seen anything like that in-game. That second period had a pretty much everything but a goal. When you count the physical altercations, a goofy penalty call on the car, and then a great save by Wedgwood that gets everybody fired up, and then the game just stops, and you get 2 second periods. So, no, I haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was a wild game. It did. It kind of had a little bit of everything, except for a lot of goals. You know, Sean, not a lot of goals. But the Avs win this thing 2-1, and your column in the Denver Post, Avalanche, Nicholas Waugh overcome blind refs, shattered glass, take 2-0 series lead over the Kings. That's just one of those dirty, gross games that... You're proud of the team for finding a way to do it, even though it doesn't really feel necessarily like, you know, our typical Avalanche hockey.
Well, I think when you went into this series, the thing in your head, if you're an Avs fan or just Joe fan in general, with the one seed against the second wild card, is, well, this is the one, because Nashville, some of those games were like that 4 years ago. We should win every game 5-1. Right, like that's the thought in your head, or 4-0 or 7. But then I think a couple of those, if I remember, this is just off an old man's brain here, off the top of the head, I recall at least one of those Predators games, maybe 2 or 3 of the sweep going, or was it 5? But anyway, one of those early ones went to overtime that had a Makar winner. Might have been game 2, ironically, and I think it was, because I think it was at home. Yeah, it wasn't home. So you get those at this time of year. I think it's the style and the way and the fact that the first two periods of both games have just been an absolute slog. I think we've had one goal. I think that's right, in the first two games over the first two periods. And I think people expected this was going to be – they expected it was going to be a 4-0 or a 4-1 series win that was going to have a lot of easy warm-up, fun kind of games. And it just hadn't been that. And I guess there's two, back to the glass half full, glass half empty thing. Again, glass half full. You're 2-0 when you've gotten one goal, none from Nathan MacKinnon, no goals from Cale Makar, and from a team that's actively physically trying to beat the heck out of Cale Makar. Or it's 2-0 and boy, we don't look like a one seed. I think both those things are valid. Both of those things are true. And feel free to debate it, but ultimately at this time of year, I would contend, because I think somebody, a former Avs writer, had said that the Avs got away with one last night, or people were kind of thinking like, what? How'd you come up with that last night? I do see how you could, but I think the bottom line is still the same. I'm not going to be as sunny as Jared Bednar, who operates in his own lovely plane of existence. He's like, I loved how we play. I loved how we checked. I loved how we do it. And there is that, because I can do my chair later.
That was close.
He talks way slower than me, way more laconic. I'd be like, well, I'm the son of a Mountie, and you can hit me in the puck with a face, and I don't react. And I'll just keep coming. He's the Terminator. I do like Jared Perkins.
Oh, yeah.
You think he was coaching. And he is the son of a Mountie. Are you going to mess with the son of a Mountie?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
No. Yeah.
No, I don't think you are at all. Look that one up, kids. So, Yeah, and I could see that. Like, that's kind of the two interpretations. Are they lucky, or are they playing, showing that they can play the ugliest way possible? Yeah, I think both those things are true. I just think the folk memory we have from 4 years ago is that first round felt pretty easy, and I want to say there was a couple blowouts in that. I know there were a couple blowouts in that one. And I don't think you're going to get a blowout in this one. I just think that the Kings just won't. God, it's crazy to say the Kings won't allow it. And Forsberg is good enough. Anton Forsberg is playing well enough between the pipes. That's kind of I was telling another TV guy last night, because you know what a chit-chatty guy I could be in between deadline assignments. I'm like, they've got the formula for what used to be a pesky eight seed when the bracket made sense. But that same idea, so essentially a low seed. That is, you can win in the playoffs to a certain point if you just have a hot goaltender and can just muck it up. Like, you can play for 6 weeks that style, because that's the way these games go, and it's the way these games are called, and so fewer things are called usually physically, and how they let things go typically. So I don't know. I still think this is a 4-1, 4-0 series for the Avs, but there might be some physical toll going into it, and that's going to be concerning when the whole point and the whole argument, and it goes back to the half-empty side of this, of getting this series was to avoid the kind of physical toll that Dallas or Minnesota was going to take in the first round and did take on you last year. Now, time will tell, and if you still win 4-0 while getting beat up, you still might get, you know, 4 or 5 days off to rest and heal up while those two teams are killing each other to face you. So maybe that all washes in the end. But, yeah, I think it's okay to be a little eyebrow raised about the lack of dominance, because I don't know if that gear's going to come. And I think DJ Smith knows I can just kind of smother these guys. That's the only shot I have, and let's see what they do. And they haven't really risen above that, to be fair.
Well, 2-0 at least, and yeah. Again, a game that had everything. And, man, Sean, what more can we say about Scott Wedgwood? I thought maybe there was a chance we'd see Blackwood last night, just listening to some of Bednar's comments.
Yeah.
But, you know, he stuck with Wedgie.
And I tell you what, the only thing with – and I've had friends who are Avs fans who've been texting me a little bit this morning and afternoon and talking about, yeah, one-off, great, a good dude. I mean, Blackie's a good dude too, but Wedgie's a really good dude. So you're happy for him on a personal level, and I hope they can keep it up. But rest is a thing, and workload is a thing, and he's like smashed through all his career marks on starts and appearances. The question, and I may pose this in print at some point, if they're up 3-0, would you be tempted to start Blackwood Sunday with a 3-0 lead just to take some foot off the gas? And I would, and to give your guy, your number one, a chance to just take a breather mentally and take that workload off the idea of we've got 6 more weeks, right? I'd be tempted, and to give Blackwood, dangle a carrot in front of him of like, hey, you're going to get 3-4 starts here. You know, is that a compliment that you get a start when you're up 3-0 and there's nothing to lose? And then, you know, no, but I don't know. It's a tricky one. It really is. And I'm trying to get smarter people than me to explain that.
It's a fine idea. Always, I actually don't. I don't agree. I don't disagree with that, really.
Just because of the rest. And Wedgie's the kind of guy, I don't know if you've ever met him or talked to him, but he'd be like, yeah, okay. Because he'd been a backup as an NHL player his whole life. He'd just be like, yeah, okay. You know, he'd just probably shrug and be like, yeah, whatever works. I think Blackie's a little more complicated. I think he's been a 1A a little more. And that's a tricky one, because your 1B has just been better, and you need to keep riding that hand, because you probably also don't win both these games if Blackwood isn't going for one of them, because there's that mental thing and the eyesight and the health that he's just lost. He just loses those little moments and loses the puck at times that can get you killed. Metaphorically in a series like this when it's this tight. So I trust Wedgwood more. I would lean Wedgwood, but I wouldn't be opposed to sprinkling Blackwood in there just for load management. And that sounds silly this time of year, because the other hardline hockey rule is generally ride the hot hand and don't shake it when it's working. And I could see that too. And you're going to be like, yeah, why am I moving off basically probably the best goaltender, one of them in the league right now? You don't. But rest is a thing. So I'm very curious if they have a 3-0 lead in this series or any other, because that's possible too, if you can get past the second round. Again, because the other thing from 4 years ago is how much easier did that Oilers series feel after the Blues, right?
Yeah.
And that sounds counterintuitive to say, but it did. It was over in a flash, mostly because the Oilers goaltending was terrible. And that was the 7-5, 8-4 kind of games. Like, those were wild. That was video game stuff, and it was a lot of fun. This team has it in them to do that, but I don't, you know, we're not going to see it this series. So I don't know. That's a great question, and that's why I'm a Brady, that's a good one. I may circle back to that in print, because I'm curious too, especially if you've got a 3-0 and Blackie sitting there and have a chance to also have some load management with Letty.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. Sean, also, I mean, Thursday night's going to be epic. It's going to be a big one. The Nuggets, yeah, a different tone, certainly in their playoff series compared to the Avalanche's series at this point. After dropping game two, Jaden McDaniels basically calling every Nuggets player trash. I mean, I didn't like what he had to say. And if I'm a Nuggets player, you know, I got to take offense to that, and I got to use it on the floor. They're all saying the right things, but I want them to use it on the floor tomorrow night, because maybe if they don't, then maybe they just don't have it.
This, and what's worrying, and we talked about this for, gosh, months in this roller coaster ride that they've been on, this is a crucible for David Adelman. Because do you think if Jaden McDaniels says that against the Michael Malone team, how many times do you think Michael Malone is bringing that up?
Oh,
like every
all the time.
6 seconds.
Yeah.
It is in giant letters in front of everyone, waved at them. He gets up and he goes, "Hi, bad defender. Hi, bad defender." He would just shame them into being angry. I don't know if Adelman has that button. Like, he doesn't, he can be taciturn and kind of jerky, but not Malone jerky. That's a different gear. Because if I'm a Timberwolves fan or even Chris Finch, I'd be like, what are you saying?
To me, Timberwolves, oh, yeah.
This is what you say. This is what you say when you're up 3-1. Not when you're 1-1 or you're done and you're like, you know, the heck with you guys. And then you can just dump on them, as often happens at the end of a playoff series. But this is after game two. I got to admit, I think this has been the case. I think the Nuggets will be the more entertaining of the weekend games to me between them and also because the Avs games have been dreadfully, well, other than fighting, have not been really aesthetically pleasing so far. Nugs Wolves is everything, unfortunately, I thought it might be. I'd kind of hoped it would have been simpler after game one and then the first period, the first quarter, rather, on Monday. And, well, okay, there you go. No. Oh, yeah. That was how that game went. Where I'm like, oh, boy. And then Tim Connelly does a 35-inch vertical leap at the end in front of the cameras, and I go, oh, man. Oh, boy. Yeah. That I don't know what you drink while you're watching games, but whatever you've got, you're going to need it nearby, because that's a tricky one. You got to get a split. You have to. I think there's just no other choice. And bring it back here. But, I guess the good news is the Nugs have this season, for all that we've learned, are pretty good on the road and have been just as good on the road, if not better, than at home so far. And I'm really curious when we're going to see Peyton Watson, because that's one name McDaniels didn't mention as being a garbage defender. Let's note that. And they miss him. And here we are.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an epic Thursday night, Sean. I'll tell you that, man. Nerves. It's a tense time. It's not necessary. Sometimes I just want to say I'm straight up not having a good time, even though this is what we love. It's what we sign up for. But as a fan, that's where I sit. I'm on the edge of my seat, stressed out of my mind most nights.
Yeah. They're the best two postseasons in North American pro sports. Fight me on it. Fight me on it, Andre Kopitar.
Let me think about that. But I tell you, I have different emotions watching NBA and NHL playoffs. Me especially NBA than I do even NFL playoffs. It's hard to explain, but it is what it is.
Yeah, no, I think it's the best. I think the Stanley Cup's the best. The NBA is the second best. And this is Mr. Baseball guy talking. I think it's just miles, miles ahead of any other sport that way. And it also, to me, also waters down its regular season. Like, I just don't, as we talked about, they're too long. They're too
yes.
Games.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't care. They should start around about Christmas, and they start too early because they want to make up the money, because it's about them making the money. And you get more people in October and November, you make up the money. And you have a cup in Vegas in the winter that nobody cares about, and you make up the money. and that's fine. You know, I get that too. But yeah, this is the time. This is the time when those winter sports really, really shine. And when you've got two good teams, you're on the edge of your seat. Maybe you should just call Sean Payton on Thursday night, crack open a cold one, and watch the playoff games with him in the bunker. Because that's probably what they'll be doing.
Yeah.
They'll have those games on, one of those games on, in one TV like the rest of us, and just hope that whoever they want at 62 is still on the board come Friday when they've got to do some work.
Sean, great stuff from you as always, man. Love these conversations, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week. I hope the Avs are done, and I hope the Nuggets are still alive by the time we talk next week.
Yeah, amen. Same to you, brother. Thanks.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right, that's Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly. Great stuff from him as always. He joins us every Wednesday. Give us his take, what he's cooking on. He's following a lot of the exact same things that we are here on the show, so it's a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a short break here, Michael, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Shut up! Out, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on.
You are angry, Mike. That was an angry rejoin there from you. Watching with anger. Watching the Avs game with anger last night. It's Michael Kirkpatrick.
I just feel so different between Avs games and Broncos games. I just every little thing that happens, I just yell and I want the other guy to get hurt.
My favorite of the things I'm watching, my favorite stuff is Nuggets in the playoffs. For me personally, it's just different. I love the NFL playoffs, but there is not an uneasiness, and that's weird to say that I like the uneasiness, but there is an uneasiness that keeps me, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. There's moments in the playoffs and football games where it's intense and it's nerve-wracking, but there is something about, and I'll throw the NHL playoffs into that. Watching this game last night, I felt that too. Because, at any minute, this game can change, and it did. 0-0 for 80% of the game, Mike, and next thing you know, the Kings are up, and shortly after that, the Avs tie it up with a beautiful pass, Martinacius to Gabriel Landeskog, and then you go to overtime. And that's the thing. It's just these games can change things so quickly, and you don't get that in a lot of other sports. You just don't. And then in the fact that it's a series, every series takes on its own identity. And, you know, a game between the Broncos and the Bills or whatever, it's a game. It's not like this drawn-out story because it's just one day. It's one game. In a series, you feel everything. And you really, you know, Jaden McDaniels talking trash. And, oh, that was after two games. He's talking trash. We got this. For a football game, it's like the buildup is there for the week. You know, Bills might be talking trash. Broncos might be talking trash, whatever. We got bulletin board material. And then they play and it's over. We have to, Jaden McDaniels has to go up against all those guys he just ripped shreds 2 days later. And there's something about that just makes it must-see television for me.
I mean, all the playoffs are good in their own right. I'll disagree with you, and a lot of people are going to be surprised. I think Stanley Cup playoffs are where it's at. They need to go eight versus one again, but they are just the best playoffs They are. They're better than the NFL playoffs. Even before the NFL did that stupid, we're going to add a seventh team.
They're better than the NFL. And I see that. Like, if you're a diehard hockey fan, then not even a diehard hockey fan. If you're a big hockey fan, NHL playoffs are way more intense. I mean, it's like when I'm talking, get ready to be nervous, get ready to be intense, get ready to be stressed out of your mind. We don't do that for the NFL playoffs. We do that for these. And that's where they have their... That's where the NBA does make its money, too, because people do like the NBA playoffs. The regular season, as Sean said, is just too damn long. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. I don't know if I think it's too damn long. I don't know if I agree with that, but some do. What did we learn on the whole show today? We'll find out next.
Four Saturdays, four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 22nd day of April? We learned that the Avalanche, again, they're good enough. They're like a chameleon, Michael. They can change the way they play hockey and still win games. It's the mark of a great roster, a great coaching staff, great goalies. You love to see it. We also learned that the Nuggets absolutely need to be using the Jaden McDaniels clip as bulletin board material, but don't need to talk about it. Use it on the floor. Michael, what did you learn today? Did you learn anything?
I learned that no matter what you think of tanking, when it comes to the NBA, flopping's worse.
Priorities, Mike. Priorities. It's like you have a lot of issues, you know? But you don't need to take like the, you know, hey, you snore a little bit. That's not a major issue. Focus on the bigger issues, Adam Silver and the NBA. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.